Listen and stream the all-new talk radio Freedom 106.5 for the only talk that matter.
Good afternoon, Trinidad and Tobago. This is Freedom 106.5 FM. Speak your mind. A beautiful Tuesday. It's a beautiful day to speak about health. So we have for you the Lunchtime Doctor with Dr. Safia Mohammed as we welcome all of our listeners here on Freedom 106.5 as well as those on our TBC radio network, Sangeet 106.1 FM, Vibe CT 105 FM and Sky 99.5 FM. Good afternoon, Dr. Mohammed.
Good afternoon, Govin, and good afternoon to all those locked in to this program, Lunchtime Doctor. This is the program where you get to share your health concerns and we dissect them, where you get to share what's on that lunchtime plate. What health habit have you learned and sharing with your community? We also take that deep dive into the articles published in your Guardian Health Plus. We continue along the vein of men's health awareness. We looked a little bit deeper into male infertility, male breast cancer, all of this and more on your Lunchtime Doctor.
All right. And of course, for our listeners, you can send those medical questions to us on WhatsApp 306-1065. You could also send those messages to our respective frequencies and they will forward them to us and your calls live 627-3223-625-2257. Call right now and our Lunchtime Doctor, Dr. Safia Mohammed, will answer your questions. Now, you spoke about male breast cancer.
That's right.
That's real?
So yes, and you know that's exactly one of the nuances we addressed in the program. Is it real? Yes, males can indeed have breast cancer. In fact, in our Guardian Health Plus, we actually had a patient survivor story coming forward. And he said he actually asked that question when it first happened, when he got the diagnosis. He's like, for what? For real? Are you sure? Now, a next question I get, how can men have breast cancer if men don't have breast tissue? But the interesting thing is the male anatomy does have a small amount of breast tissue. Obviously, much less than the female anatomy. Right. However, because there is that anatomy, then they do have the ability for what we call a proliferation of breast cells, an abnormal proliferation of the breast cells that would lead to breast cancer. Here's the very scary fact. Much of the research and data coming forward is that the average time from when it presents to the time of diagnosis is 19 months. That is a year and a half. And why? Because of this lack of awareness. Because of men not being sure, men not knowing what to do. Can they really have, if they feel a lump, if they feel some sort of deviation, if they see some sort of deviation, as in changes with the nipple size, discoloration, is it really something to be considered? So yes, male breast cancer is indeed a diagnosis. It has been diagnosed here in Trinidad and Tobago. It has been treated here in Trinidad and Tobago. And in our Guardian Health Plus, we looked at all of that. In fact, the surgeon, a consultant, oncoplastic and reconstructive breast surgeon, Dr. Laron Olivier, is the one that was part of the team, that healthcare team. And he shared directly in the Guardian Health Plus today on this reality. It's absolutely not a myth. Men can be diagnosed with breast cancer.
Are there any risk factors? What are the risk factors that persons can look out for?
So there are genetic type risk factors. Okay. And then, of course, there are some of the lifestyle type risk factors. Obesity, heavy alcohol use, and if there's any sort of previous radiotherapy to the thyroid or to the chest. So that may put one at an increased predisposition to. But there can be absolutely no risk factors. In fact, in the patient's story, he actually shared that when he was diagnosed, he was in a real shock because there was no history of breast cancer in his family, no female relative. He really was not sure how did this happen. So yes, there can be a risk factor, but it can also have no risk factors. And this is why, again, it's so important. Awareness of your health. You see something different, you feel something different, trust that gut instinct, go get it checked out.
627-323-625-2257 and your messages on WhatsApp 306-1065. Those are the avenues that you could connect with your lunchtime doctor right here on Freedom 106.5, Vibe CT 105, Singeet 106.1 and Sky 99.5 FM. A question coming, what about the percentage of persons that are diagnosed?
So it is a small percentage in comparison to female breast cancer, but that may just as well be a direct relationship to awareness.
Okay. Sure.
As in, yes, there is a small percentage, and let me get that exact percentage to let you know. They say fewer than 1% of all breast cancers are indeed male breast cancer. So yes, it is rare, but a big part of that is lack of
media
data,
awareness,
lack of research, lack of awareness. So
let's take a call. Let's
sure,
sit on the line. Hello, good afternoon. Sorry.
Yeah, good afternoon. I would like to ask the doctor something.
Sure.
Is asbestos a cancerous product? Are she aware that people in Trinidad, lots of areas, receive drinks water from asbestos pipe? Is it a dangerous product or not?
Okay.
Good question. Thank you so much. So what I'm aware about asbestos is that the very small fibers, the particles, tend to be released if it's available, if it's there circulating in the air, then that's when it can be rebreathed in. If it's even in the circulatory, in the ventilatory system, the air conditions, that's when it can be rebreathed in and then get trapped in the lungs. Yes, asbestos is indeed a cancerous product. I have not heard anything of it being trapped in the water. Certainly, we can do some more research. But yes, there is a risk factor when it comes to exposure of asbestos within those fiber particles released into the air.
Let's go to our WhatsApp text board. You could send us your messages, 306-1065-02, our respective stations. Good day, I am 214 pounds, 45 years, can smoothly, what? Okay, can smoothies help me lose weight, or what would be a better option? My height is 5.1. So I guess 5 feet 1 inches.
Yes,
you didn't indicate male indicator as well, so if you could send us that, but in the interim, doctor.
So let's jump straight into foodies, smoothies. So yes, persons do talk about smoothies for weight loss, but here's the risk jumping it with smoothies. Some persons add way too many sweet factors with your smoothies, and then you're going to be building up your calories. It's really a calculation. If you want to lose weight, know first and foremost, with your weight and your height, calculate your BMI. Know what is your total caloric expenditure, as in how much calories you need to expend during the day, and of course, how much calories you normally utilize. In order to lose weight, you must have more calories expended so that you put the body in a place of ketosis or caloric deprivation. Smoothies can trick you if you're drinking way too much and putting a little too much calories or sugars in there. If you are indeed getting your fiber component with your smoothies and you're making sure that you're balancing out your calories, then certainly you can utilize it. Again, everything with the direction of a healthcare professional. In this case, I would suggest a nutritionist, especially for our diabetics. Some persons may want to lean into the smoothies a little too much, and some fruits have a high glycemic index. One of the baselines for smoothies tend to be watermelon. Watermelon has a high glycemic index. So let's just be mindful of which smoothie it is, what you're putting into the product. Even some persons like to add granola into that smoothie mix. Granola has a high amount of fats. So keep that in mind.
Thank you, Dr. Mohammed. Another question. Good day, Governor Dr. Mohammed. I just wanted to find out if I slipped and fell and I'm having some rib pains on the left side and midsection, from the back all the way to the front, if there is the need for me to get an x-ray done. This fall took place on Saturday, but it was not from a particularly high height.
Any fall that you're experiencing pain from, please be on the safe side, on the side of caution. Get it x-rayed. If that was Saturday and today being Tuesday and you're still experiencing pain, yes, please move that forward and get some sort of medical help. Even if you're at least evaluated and then there they make the deduction, okay, we don't need the x-ray, but we'll certainly put you on some level of NSAIDs, non-steroidal anti-inflammatories, some sort of pain relief. It will reduce the acute inflammatory response. Hope that answers your question.
Let's take another call. Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Durbasa here. I avoid fruit smoothies and fruit juice because in making those, what you have done is to rip the cells open and release the sugar from inside of the cell into the water, which is how you make sugarcane juice, which is then, you know, makes the sugar available for extraction. And I think that's just like adding sugar to water. But I do eat fruit. In fact, I just had one side of a spiced mango. My friend dropped off some here. Beautiful. I could eat the whole bag, eh? But I just eat one side. You must have some discipline. You must know how the thing works. In juice and in a smoothie, you have released the sugar from inside the cell. That is supposed to happen in your digestive system. And you have made the sugar very much more available, which I think is a bad thing. You come in, Doc. Thank you.
So, good perspective. Like I said, it really depends on which fruit. Either which way, we want to manage the glycemic index. Let me just put that into numbers and a better understanding for you. Let's say it's one portion of fruit size, and that may be, say, an apple. It's considered three slices of the apple. Watermelon, one slice of your watermelon. Of course, that's different sizes. A watermelon slice can be as high as 76 on that glycemic index, versus your slice of apple can be as low as 36. So your glycemic index plays a huge role. Different fruits have a different or higher sugar intake. So keep that in mind.
Thank you so much. We have another question. What can be the cause of a rhythmic sound in my right ear?
So any sort of ringing or rhythmic sound you're hearing in the ears is considered a diagnosis of tinnitus, right? That tinnitus is one that can be based on the fluid within the ear. There can be an infection in the ear. That can also be directly linked to any sort of temporomandibular dysfunction. Keep in mind, any ringing in the ear that's leading to some sort of imbalance can not only affect you directly in terms of walking, driving, but also have other more potential complications. So in this case, please identify the trigger and make sure you get it checked out.
All right, good afternoon, folks. Bases inside, you know, there's some rain out there, and where there's rain, there is traffic. In TNT. 20 minutes now after 12. You're listening to, of course, the Lunchtime Doctor. Nice to have the doctor in studio today. Freedom 106.5 FM, Sangit 106.1, Sky 99.5, and Vibe City 105 FM. How are we doing today, Doc?
So today is a good day.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because we're getting these questions and stigmas out of the way. Yeah. We started talking about more of this conversation along the lines of men's health.
Right, okay.
And really bringing forward things that people don't know about. Male breast cancer, we talked about that. We're going to jump into male infertility later on. Interesting factor. When we think about infertility, one may automatically think, well, something is wrong with the female partner.
Yeah.
However, the WHO director has said in a very recent report on infertility that infertility does not discriminate. And the data suggests that up to 40% of infertile couples may have a male factor. And it's the same 40% with the female factor. So yes, there are many things that can go a little bit awry. And it's not just the semen analysis. In today's Guardian Health Plus, we went through a list of causes. and a list of investigations that can help you be better directed.
All right, let's get back to your questions at 306-1065. Of course, feel free to message our other frequencies and they will forward the messages to us. Good day, Doc. I'm 43 years of age. I'm getting lots of back pain, lower back and upper back pain. Also, a little short breath comes with it. Any advice, please?
So anytime I hear back pain, I'm always concerned about the ergonomic. How is it you're sitting? Posture. Is it that you are driving a lot? That may, unfortunately, you may lead to that chronic lower back pain after some time. There may be some sort of the disc involvement. There may be neuromuscular involvement. Yes, there is treatment for back pain, but it starts first and foremost with identifying the cause. Again, there can be problems with the spine, and that will directly impact upon your nerves. So in a case with back pain, do not delay in getting it checked out.
Of course, Doc, some people may have jobs where they're sitting every day and the chair they're sitting on may not be as comfortable or good for their
and
back.
And that's what we talked about, ergonomics.
Yeah.
So first and foremost, if you are not sitting in a comfortable chair, there's several adjustments you can make. Mm-hmm. There's actually that lumbar cushion that is easily available in most of those stores that will give you that additional back support. Even if it means moving around. So if you are able to shift, if you're sitting for more than a 2-hour period, you should have at least some movement in there. Anything more than 2 hours at a time, that will then worsen these complications.
Good day, Dr. Sophia. Just wanted to find out if I slipped and fell and having some rib pains on the left side, midsection, back to front, if there's the need to have an x-ray of the area. This fall was on Saturday and not from any height. Thank you.
Right. So we got that question earlier on. Govin just read it. That's okay. But I'm glad it was reread because any fall, today we're having some rains. Be careful. Slippery roads out there. And yes, sometimes a simple fall can not only lead to fractures, it can lead to dislocations. So for all those walking about, just make sure you are indeed cautious of falls.
All right. Let's go to the phone lines. Hello. Good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon, Bass. Good afternoon to the doctor. Doc, as a driver on the road, sometimes you may encounter accident. How, as a non-professional, how should someone approach the person who was in an accident, especially since you're not medically trained? What should be the first or second thing that person needs to do?
First and foremost, this is an excellent question. First and foremost, call for help. Call for help, call for help. You may not be able, what is advised is do not try to move the patient because in moving the patient, in moving the accident victim, there can be further damage. Calling for help, it's our automatic reaction to want to help, to want to move the person out. Again, each situation is very different, so there isn't any one way to treat an accident victim, but the most important one is call for help. Secondary, if you have some level, there's some people that have at least basic life support, and you can offer that to the victim, the accident victim, then that certainly will make a difference. If you're not, you can even call a medical personnel on the phone, and that you can follow through in that circumstance if there's no one coming to help. So there and a host of options to utilize, but of course, always err on the side of caution.
Thank you.
Thank you there, caller. Question here from the WhatsApp. Hi, Doc. What is a mucus retention cyst?
So we did actually talk a little bit about this sometime last week. I'm not too sure if the patient didn't hear all that we mentioned. There sometimes can be a sinus retention cyst or a mucus retention cyst. It mainly forms within, if you think about the facial structure, there are different sinus glands on the face. There's a maxillary sinus, and that maxillary sinus is just at the lateral, at the left and right of the nasal bridge. That's where we tend to see most of this sinus retention cyst. And this cyst is actually can be formed within the sinuses. It tends to be a very small mass. It can unfortunately be cancerous, but majority of the times it tends to be benign. If there is a circumstance where one is experiencing this retention cyst, please get it checked out.
All right, good day, Doc. Since I got COVID a year and a half ago, after recovering, I used to feel lightheaded. Every time when I got really hungry, it started to slow down, but still get it off and on. Unlike I said, most of the times is when I got really hungry. I can't remember getting that before COVID. I had both shots. I'm in my mid-40s.
Interesting perspective. One for the books, I would say. What we do know is that with COVID, because it has this anti-inflammatory disorder part, this component, it may have affected the gut. This is the first time I'm hearing that it has affected appetite and affecting the your increase in hunger. Certainly one that we can research a little more. What we do know, you did mention that dizziness and feeling foggy. We do know that COVID patients did experience something called like a brain fog. Fog, similar to what chemotherapy patients experienced, meaning they would experience times of forgetfulness, times of amnesia. So it's so important that you discuss these symptoms with your healthcare professional, because during the time of having COVID, you may not have seen a doctor.
All right, you remember our numbers, folks, 627-3223, 625-2257. You're listening to The Lunchtime Doctor. This one is coming from a 44-year-old female. I'm experiencing heart palpitations that also pulses on the back right side of my head. What can cause that? Thanks.
So anytime we hear pulsations in the head, the first thing that comes to mind is migraines. Of course, any pains in the chest, do not take it lightly. It may be trauma, it may be musculoskeletal injury, but at age 44, there is a thing called heart attacks, silent heart attacks, angina. Get it checked out. A simple ECG and blood investigations can rule that out. But the pulsation you described at the back of the head may be directly related to, as we mentioned, migraines. Sometimes it may be that dilation of the vessels that supply the cerebral vessels that leads to migraines. Could be other causes, but that's the one that's most common.
Often heard, Doc, that migraines and headaches, people who get them constantly, is like a sign that the body's trying to tell you something. Not true?
Well, migraines tend to, the main risk factor there is stress related. So it could definitely be related to stress, definitely be overexhaustion, burnt out. And you know, post-COVID, we're seeing a lot of that being described in medical reports. So any sort of vision deficiencies or changes in your vision, also get that checked out.
All right. Good day, Dr. Sophia. I just wanted to find out if we got that one already. Ask the doctor if cigarette smoking causes loud snoring.
Yes, it can. Unfortunately, cigarette smoking can lead directly to something called obstructive sleep apnea. There's an increased deposition of mucus along the respiratory pathways, and that will unfortunately be or predispose you to obstructive sleep apnea. Most of our patients who have snoring, their direct diagnosis is obstructive sleep apnea. Case in point, seek some sort of help to reduce the smoking and definitely get that assessment to reduce your sleep apnea.
Hi, good day, Doc. Can you have kidney failure without swollen feet? Thanks.
Good question. Yes, you can if it's in its preliminary stages. Now, kidney failure is one that we diagnose not only using biochemical markers, we also diagnose based on history and examination. Of course, majority of the times, kidney failure patients present with one of those signs is indeed swelling of the feet, especially around the ankles, and that's called edema, specifically pitting edema. However, early signs of kidney failure may not show this kidney swelling of the fetus. It may just be represented in the blood investigations. Again, another reason to get properly checked out.
All right, once again, folks, 627-3223, 625-2257. The Lunchtime Doctor on Freedom 106.5 FM, Sangit 106.1, Sky 99.5, and Vibe City 105 FM. While we wait on some calls, let's discuss, breast cancer in men. A lot of men may be hearing this for the first time and wondering, what can men get breast cancer?
Yes, and early on we actually also mentioned about that story. Mm-hmm. In the paper, we actually shared a survivor story. This patient came forward and talked about his experience. He was not only diagnosed here in Trinidad, but he was also treated here in Trinidad. He undergone surgery, chemotherapy, radiation, and now he feels like he has a fighting chance. The incidence of this is very small, 1%, rare, but yes, it can happen, has happened in Trinidad, and has been diagnosed and treated in Trinidad.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to the phone lines ringing. Hello, good afternoon. Welcome.
Hi. Good afternoon. First of all, I'd like to say I always enjoy the program, and I listen whenever I can. I have a question for Dr. D. Can you recommend how someone can stop smoking? Maybe a professional also? Thank you.
So, excellent question. There are indeed smoking cessation clinics within the public health. It's also available, I know, in some of the wellness clinics that are coming forward in public health. They're definitely available in the private health sector. It starts first and foremost with something called cognitive behavioral therapy. There also are some adjuncts that can be placed as in the nicotine patch. There are also different therapies that one can engage in. Yes, it's available right here in Trinidad. I would say have the conversation with your healthcare professional, even your GP, and they will move you towards the next step.
Okay. 627-3223, 625-2257. We have some calls coming in here. Hello, good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon.
All right, turn on your radio, please, so we can have some feedback there.
Sorry.
All right, go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. My name is Felicia, and I have been suffering a lot of headaches in my head. It is mostly at the back of my head, and sometimes it is feel like a beating in my head, and I would just like to know what I could do for it, because it does feel like I've been fighting the pain a lot, because I have been taking Panadol Ultra, but somehow when I don't take the tablet, it will cool down the pain for a little while, but then I see feeling the pain building back up, and it does feel like if it's a migraine with tension headache at the same time.
Mm-hmm. I'm so sorry you're experiencing that, but as you have identified, the pain is towards more to the lower part of the head, so we call it the occipital region. The first thing I'd want to make sure we rule out is any sort of vision dysfunction. Yes, just having some sort of problems with the eyes can also put one in that space where they present with headaches. Yes, we want to make sure we can rule out if it's migraines. Note that there are treatments available for migraines. It might be a combination treatment, but there are indeed treatments available. I'm not too sure if the headaches are also related to hormonal changes. One may present with headaches more so around different times in their cycle. It could also be related to stress and that muscular tension. A big factor with these headaches, especially in that occipital area, is of course screen time. We may be at the computer more hours than we may need to be, and having tilting the head versus having the screen at the same level of our eyes puts an unnecessary strain at the neck, those muscles. So all of those are little factors to consider. There are other factors, but those are the ones that are more common. Hope that gives you some sort of resolution.
So is it also, a migraine tension headache?
Well, it could very much be, but of course we'd want to go in a little bit deeper, see your healthcare professional. They'll ask quite a few more questions to be able to come to that diagnosis. That tends to be one of the more common diagnoses we see, but it's very treatable.
All right, thank you there, caller. Let's go to the WhatsApp. Hi. Based on Doc, I had two strokes on June 4th. I had the third. Right after 12 months of therapy, I lost all strength I gained. The last stroke left my left side of my body tingling and tight. Right, what are your thoughts, Doctor?
So unfortunately, with stroke, it can debilitate the body. You can lose function, you can lose ability to walk, function of the hands, function of the legs. Strokes can even affect voice. It can even affect behavior. I do hope after these two strokes that you are staying on your medications, you're managing very tightly the blood pressure. What we need to understand is what causes a stroke. What causes a stroke is when there's a block or an occlusion. Think of a clogged pipe. When there's a clogged pipe in the brain, so the arteries, the veins, the vessels of the brain, the cerebral vessels, there is a blood clot. It could be an hemorrhagic stroke, or it can be an ischemic stroke. That's when there's cholesterol deposition. So all of those things are what we need to get checked. We need to know your cholesterol values. We need to know your blood pressure. We need you to have a tight control on those medications. And of course, stay consistent with your diet. Key with stroke rehabilitation is, of course, a couple exercises that might be very hard at the earlier stages. It can be challenging, I would say, but once you have a proper occupational therapist or some sort of physiotherapist, then you can move through that program a lot more effectively.
And what are some of the signs somebody may be getting a stroke?
So there's a nice little acronym to remember, FAST. FAST. It can affect your face. You can see changes with the face. You can have loss of voice. So that's the S, the speech. A, arms. It can faster affect the arms than the limbs. You may have a drooping arm and it can come on suddenly. And the T, crucial, is the time factor. Once you're seeing changes, present right away to the ER, because the time we take to embolize is so important in the recovery. So signs and symptoms, keep in mind, one can have absolutely no sign or symptom. There's something called a TIA, transient ischemic attack, where it can be mere seconds where the speech becomes slurred, or one may even feel just dizzy and they fall, and that may have an occlusion in the brain. So again, underlying statement, if there's a change in your health, just get it checked out.
Especially men out there, because you know men are getting checked. All right, 627-323-625-2257. You're listening to The Lunchtime Doctor, 20 minutes now before 1 o'clock. And of course, 306-1065 for your WhatsApp messages, all your messages and all your questions. Of course, Freedom 106.5, Sangit 106.1, Sky 99.5, and Vibe City 105 FM. Give us a call for all your questions there.
So as you mentioned, our male patients, over this weekend, a patient all the way from Point Fortin told me that he unfortunately had some chest pains. He ignored it. He was actually taking care of the garden, taking care of mowing the lawn. So he felt some tightness in his chest, but he thought it was the musculoskeletal because he's pushing the lawn more.
Okay.
So he ignored it completely. Mm-hmm. 2 weeks later, the pain came on stronger.
Right.
So that was actually the second heart attack.
Mm-hmm.
And the ECG actually showed the first one. Well, what we see is we see acute and chronic changes.
Mm.
So we have an acute heart attack means right now, and then changes in the rhythm strip that may have represented some time ago.
Mm.
And only on further questioning, then he recalled, yes, you know, I was feeling a little weak when I was mowing the lawn, but I didn't really take it on. Here's the thing. The first one might be smaller.
Yeah.
It might not damage as much blood vessels in the heart. And you can have a better reperfusion post heart attack. So to all of our patients, not just the males, women and men. Please don't ignore these red flags.
Yeah, well, definitely. Hello, good afternoon. Welcome.
Yeah, hello, good afternoon.
Yes?
I just want to find out from the doctor. What happened? I had had stroke already before, but I using medication, right? And they say circulation, my ankle and things swell, and it did black. Could you help me out there?
I completely empathize. I'm so sorry you experienced a stroke already. It seems like that ankle swelling, yes, it's circulation. So I do hope you're on some sort of diuretic that helps release some of the fluids. And I also hope you're on some sort of medication to reduce the blood pressure and keep a tight control on the cholesterol. What I want to encourage you to do, and I know it would be a little difficult in light of the fact that there's that swelling of the legs, but let's see if we can get any bit of exercise going. Next time you go to the doctor, ask them if you can have a session with the physiotherapist, or if that's something you can do privately. The physiotherapy or any sort of exercises to the legs will certainly help reduce that problem, especially the ankles. Keep in mind, just like we just said, unfortunately, when a person has one stroke, there can be a repeat. So you're not only taking your medications, I want you to watch what you're eating as well. Sometimes we may be eating things that have way too much saturated fats. Keep in mind, all of that could predispose you to a stroke. I also want to know what your glycemic index is. So get your HbA1c properly checked. Now, with respect to the changes in the color of the skin, that certainly means that there's not only a circulation dysfunction, but there's pooling of fluid there. At the nighttime, try elevating the legs, even massaging the feet. All of that is going to help reduce that circulation problems along with your medications. Hope that answers the question.
And hello, you could tell me, I use the Daflon circulation. Would that help?
Certainly. That is one of the typical prescribed medications. Please stay consistent with it.
Okay, thank you.
No problem.
All right, lunchtime, doctor, 6273-223-625-2257. 50 minutes away from 1 o'clock. Let's go to the phone lines. Hello, good afternoon. Welcome.
Good afternoon, Doc. Is there any thing for vertigo?
So, yes, vertigo is one of those syndromes that we talk about quite a few times. There's several causes, but first and foremost, let me just mention that it is one of those, once you've diagnosed it, is very treatable. However, it's a layered, multi-layered causes. It can be something as simple as a problem with the inner ear that affects the balance, or it could be something a little bit more complex, as in something neuroskeletal. So there's even things called benign paroxysmal positional vertigo, where your blood pressures, movements may trigger the vertigo. So it starts with identifying the cause. Once we know the cause, we can start the treatment.
All right. Hello. I fell and broke my fibula bone in the left foot on April the 1st. I am out of a cast and I'm walking now, but every day my foot is swelling. Is this normal? Would I ever get over the limb while walking?
So you see, that fibula bone is one of those very delicate bones in the body. It's not as strong like the tibia or the femur.
Where exactly is it? Where?
So it's in the lower leg, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Below the knee, right. On the lateral part.
Okay.
So it's a very, we call it a skinny little bone.
Mm-hmm.
The main bone in the lower leg under the knee is the tibia. And just adjunct or lateral of the tibia is your fibula. So that bone is very easy to break. You shared that this recently happened. Yes, you will see swelling. That is normal. However, if it is more in comparison to, say, your other leg, then please return to the clinic and get it checked out. You may need to either start some sort of medication, sometimes a diuretic, to just help relieve some of that pressure on the ankles in particular. Keep the leg elevated. You may also need to have some sort of rehabilitation exercises. Now, if it's a female, I do hope that you're not moving back to shoes that unfortunately can put pressure on the lower limbs. Continue in flats because the shoes that you're wearing could also cause that sort of circulation dysfunction. And how do I know? Base, this is another fun fact about Dr. Mohammed.
I love your heels. You know you love your heels.
We love my heels. Yes, definitely. I love my heels. But about, I think 25 years ago or so, 1997 was the year, playing basketball with my older brother, I fractured my left ankle.
Okay.
And up to this day, if I stay too long on these heels, I still have some swelling on that left ankle.
Wow.
How many years later? Of course, I've engaged in a number of physiotherapy exercises to strengthen that ankle so that I can return to wearing my heels.
Yeah. And it is a female, by the way, so she's listening.
So understand, I know what you're walking through. Give yourself grace, give yourself some patience, but trust your gut with if you're seeing symptoms that it's lasting longer than it needs to last.
All right, thank you, dear doc. Let's go to the phone lines. Ring in again, 627-3223, 625-2257. This is the Lunchtime Doctor right here. No calls coming in. There we go straight. Oh, let's take this. Hello, good afternoon.
Hi, doc. What's the side effect in taking Stematil for vertigo?
So Stematil tends to be one of those medications that is normally prescribed for vertigo. The main side effect, however, is that it can make you drowsy because of the component in Stematil. It's almost like taking Pirtan or Gravol. It can make you a little drowsy. It can make you a little dizzy. Now, you're already feeling dizziness with the vertigo, and yes, Stematil can add that extra layer. I would suggest take the Stematil in the nighttime and go on a rest. There are also some other medications that are used to treat vertigo. If the Stematil is not agreeing with you, have that conversation with your healthcare professional and we can change it.
And exactly what is vertigo?
Right, so we just discussed that when one is experiencing that misbalance, you're feeling that dizziness, you're feeling like the whole world is spinning. It may just be a problem with the balance fluid, the fluid in the air, it may be an infection there, or it may be something more sinister.
Right. Let's go to the phone lines. Hello, good afternoon.
Hello, good afternoon, Doc. Peace, love, and justice. I'll make it very simple. Could you enlighten us about filled milk? Most of the milks you see now in the supermarket, you see filled milk. Could you enlighten us about it?
Hold on, stay on the line. Filled. What type of milk?
Filled, F-I-L-L-E-D.
F-I-L-L... Interesting. So I haven't quite heard of this. I will certainly take a little level of research and deep dive into that and let our listeners know. But thank you so much, caller, for bringing that to the surface.
You see, before you used to see all, they used to advertise a lot of full cream milk and that sort of
right.
thing. No, you don't see very much full cream milk.
But now you're seeing the low level,
milk.
Right?
You don't see full cream milk in one or two brands of milk. And particularly now, even in the powdered milk, I've seen some filled milk.
Very, very interesting. Right. So I certainly will do a little research on that and get back to you. It may be something on the lower fat level, skim milk even, or even reconstituted milk.
Reconstituted, but probably I suspect it's partly milk that is a good bit of it is vegetable milk. You know?
Yes, definitely.
Soy derived or something like
right,
that.
Right. Yes. So we will definitely get back to that one.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much for bringing that forward.
Fill the milk.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's go to the phone lines once again, 627-3223 and 625-2257, 10 minutes away from 1 o'clock, the Lunchtime Doctor today. And don't forget, after we continue with All Week for the Love of Country right here on Freedom. Lost that one on here. Hello, good afternoon. Hello? The WhatsApp here. I have some lower back pain. I cannot stand up in one place for too long. When the pain comes on, my body will be shaking on the inside. What's up with this, doctor?
So there's so many causes when it comes to back pain. Like I said, it could be previous accident, previous musculoskeletal injury, previous trauma, or it could just be how we're sitting on a daily basis. It could also be osteoarthritis. It could also be sciatica. There's so many causes when it comes to lower back pain. What we suggest is certainly get this checked out. Another cause that we see quite commonly in Trinidad is herniated disc or disc degeneration or something called spondylosis. Even in our female patients, there may be osteoporosis in those lower discs, and that unfortunately can present with that lower back pain. So there's a host of things. Get it checked out.
All right. Hello, good afternoon. Welcome to the lunchtime, doctor.
Yeah, good day to everyone. I am 81 years old. When I get up in the morning, I check. Hello?
Yes, we're listening.
When I check my blood sugar, it's in the 90s. 2 hours after lunch, it will be between 150 and 170. Now, I drink 8 glasses of water per day. But I'm hearing certain commentators saying too much water thinned your blood. Is that correct? I will listen to you on the radio. Thank you.
So thank you so much for letting us know your values and being so detailed in checking them. Let's address the very last comment and then we'll go into the values. No, the amount of water you drink does not affect the blood thickness or thinness. So that is a complete myth. Let's put that to rest one time. In fact, here's what the body does. The body is so astute. If there's too much water in the body, the kidneys automatically filter it, and then you will have more frequent urine actions. That's what happens when there's too much water. Think of it. When you are, say it's a rainy day, and you have your normal amount of fluid intake, you find that you might be going to the washroom more often. Or say you've had coconut water or even caffeine. Then those drinks tend to always predispose one to having more urine output. But no, the amount of water you drink does not thin the blood. Now let's jump into those values. You said 90 as your fasting blood sugar. That's an excellent value. The 150 to 170, I'll still want that a little bit lower. We want it under 140 milligrams per deciliter. So what we'll need adjusting, of course, take into consideration what you're eating, your medications, and of course your stress levels, but we'll want that to come a little bit lower than that 140 milligrams per deciliter level. So it may be your morning medications or the evening medications based on which values they are. Continue noting your values so next time you present to your doctor, they can look at the values and make a better indication of their medications.
All right, what causes your mouth to be dry when you wake up? Listening from the U.S.
Thank you so much to our U.S. caller, person who messaged in. Waking up first thing in the morning with that dryness of mouth can be quite a few things. First and foremost, if you're snoring or have any sort of sleep apnea, that's one of the typical presentations one presents with this dry mouth. However, we do have our diabetic patients presenting with this dryness of mouth, or patients with obstructive sleep apnea, or any sort of what we say adenoid dysfunction. So if there's swelling of the adenoids, if it's obstructing the respiratory passage, then one tends to wake up with this dry mouth.
All right, let's go to a call. Good afternoon. Welcome. Lunchtime, doctor.
Yeah, good afternoon. What I'm getting on surgery, and that my mouth is sticky. What causes?
So thank you so much, caller. I didn't quite get all of what you were
saying.
Says
he's getting a sore throat and his mouth is filled with a lot of saliva.
Right. So definitely there may be some sort of a sinus infection, because if the mouth is salivating more than usual, you want to get, again, if it's the adenoids infected, if it's the tonsils infected, or if it's any sort of fungal infection sometimes in the mouth, especially with that sore throat. It could also simply be a virus that unfortunately is affecting the tonsils. Even bacterial infections can worsen that. So we want to get it checked out. There's antibiotics we can use, antivirals if indicated, to help ease that dryness of the mouth, and as you said, the sore throat.
All right, doctor, we have just about 4 more minutes. One quick question, and you want to go into our Health Plus.
Definitely. Right?
Concerning the kidney, what are the symptoms of kidney failure? Thanks.
So with kidney failure, we can see that the first symptom we tend to see is the swelling of the ankles, edema. Now, when I say swelling of the ankle, you actually may be seeing a change in the discoloration of the skin. There you can see pitting edema. Let me explain what pitting edema is. Say you were to press onto the ankle joint itself and you're holding your thumb onto the ankle joint for more than 5 seconds and then you release and you see that indentation on the ankle. That is pitting edema, and that's what the classic signs of kidney dysfunction. You may have problems passing urine. There may be less urine output than usual. You may see bloody urine. You may even have heart failure, signs and symptoms of heart failure, shortness of breath, you may be having chest pains. Kidney failure, kidney nephropathy, any sort of nephropathy could be directly related to diabetes or hypertension. So you can also have signs and symptoms of hypertension or diabetes. Yes, that's how important your kidneys is. And that's why we constantly talk about preventing the stages of diabetes and hypertension from going further on.
All right, so let's talk about the male infertility now. I'm seeing here, lifestyle. Does lifestyle play a role?
Lifestyle certainly plays a role. But what we want to bring forward, especially with when we're talking about infertility, is that it's not just the female factors to consider. In our Guardian Health Plus, what the most recent report published by WHO said is that, say, there are just about 1 in 6 families that struggle with infertility, 40% of those cases are indeed a male factor. 40% is female factor. And yes, there's simple things that can lead to infertility, affecting the sperm. Do you know prolonged laptop use? Let's just say you have it on your laps. The heat there, can that temperature increase, can directly affect the sperm motility. Well, the cell phones doesn't necessarily give off a lot of heat unless the phones are. Yeah. But it's more so the research shows the laptop use and the direct connection to the male anatomy. Okay. Another thing is injury. Too many times, we may unfortunately be involved in things that may cause trauma to the testicles. Even tight pants can cause damage to the testicles. You want to ensure that you're also getting those checkups. And that's what we talked about today in the article. We looked at a host of causes. Now, when one hears male infertility, one may only think about sperm analysis. No, there are also hormonal dysfunctions. Yes, just like females who have menopause, males can have changes in their hormones as well. These hormones, because testosterone is indeed a hormone. And we talked about testosterone, it regulates that sperm production. You can also have abnormal sperm function. So a lot of it is anatomy, a lot of it is physiology. However, this is where the physical examination, yes, physical examination and a history is so important. Plus, we went into deep detail, giving you all, our male patients, an idea of what to expect. We went through what one may want to encounter, what one may encounter if you're concerned about infertility. And as the report said, it's millions around the world that is experiencing infertility. It can be primary or it can be secondary. So there's a host of different causes. There's a host of things that men can do to better take care of their health.
Definitely, that's our time for today, Doc.
I think so. We're just about out of time. You know, as usual, I'm so grateful for all the callers, all the messages. Thank you for adding your flavor to the program and for helping us better inform our public.
All right, folks, we've been listening, of course, to the Lunchtime Doctor, your favorite doctor, Dr. Sophia Mohammed, right here on Freedom 106.5 FM, Sky 99.5, Vibe City 105 FM, and, of course, Sangeet 106.1 FM. Join us tomorrow, same time, 12 noon, and do enjoy the rest of your day.
Talk is streaming at freedom106.5.com.